just a brief passage of scripture with you. And I think Miranda was trying to set me up for today, even just as she was taking up the tithe and offering. You know, last week we talked about faithfulness, and there's key things that we have to do as Christians to be faithful and remain faithful. And we're going to get into that today and probably spend a little bit of time here over the next week or so with that. But John chapter 8, verse 31. And this is out of the NIV. It's kind of a neat passage because it reads a little differently in a few other scriptures. 8:31-32. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Father, I thank you today for your word. And I thank you, Father, that the word of God, it shines down upon each and every one of us, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you know, great is your faithfulness, Lord. That's in my heart today. How great you are, Lord. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your love. How much you care for us. How much you love your church and you love your people. So, Father, I thank you today. Lord, anoint my lips, Father. Even just, be with me today as I share this word. And Father, I pray, Lord, give us a heart to receive, eyes to see everything that we need to see. And Lord, give us faith to hear. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So Father, today I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. Pastor Moran and I have been traveling a little bit this week and was in Kentucky in the Lexington area meeting with Brother Jerry, Pastor Jerry there and his wife and to begin to explore some things there and we had a good time. I don't know if you've ever been to Lexington, Kentucky, but it's a beautiful place. And there's people there that need saved, though. Amen. So that's why we're there, and that's why we were there. So praise God. We're going to continue to pray for them, and we'll update things down the road as things develop there as well. But this passage in John is such a powerful passage of scripture, and. And there's really just, there's three parts of this, but, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, and, another scripture would read in the Amplified Version, it says that if you would remain faithful. Understand I'm setting something up very quickly here and actually in John 15 in verse 4, it talks about abiding. That's something that we've heard a lot mentioned over the course of the last month, just what it means to abide. You know, we abide in him and he abides in us. But it also reads, and I think it's the New King James Version, it talks about abiding, that if you abide in me. So we see something here very clearly that Jesus goes on to say that you will be my disciples if you do this. So when you see something in the Word of God that highlights something so significant, if you do this, you will be this. It should, make a mark, make a note, underline it, do whatever you got to do, highlight it, because these are the teachings of Jesus that we truly need to pay attention to. It's important that we pay attention to all Scripture. It's given to the church to build the church. Amen. But, I believe even as we're approaching Easter, that's something that we will be looking at over these next 3 or 4 weeks. We'll be talking about, what Easter represents, what it signifies, who Jesus even was. Because, there's a lot of people that have not a clear understanding of who even Jesus is, what he's done for them, and what he accomplished on earth in his time of being here in those 3 years. So I want to look at some of that. We'll get into that. But I, Pastor Miranda started to really just jump into this very quickly because even through the message of giving, because the one thing that I want to talk about today is being consistent. Is being consistent. You think, well, is that a spiritual word? Well, faithfulness is a spiritual word. but it's important that we understand as children of God that our consistency in life matters. I would say and venture to say that it's probably the one thing that allowed me to grow in salvation greater than any other thing. It was the fact that I remained. And it was something that I, honestly, that when you got saved, did you have the truth and revelation of everything that you needed? Everybody would say no, right? So when you got saved, you were coming into something for the first time. And I remember that when I got saved, I was coming into something for the very first time. I was hearing things that I had never heard before. And honestly, there were things that I was hearing that I grew up hearing. I grew up hearing the opposite. I didn't grow up in church, not to get into a long story even around that. But I understood something early on in my Christian walk that I needed to develop a lifestyle of being consistent with God. Because if I wasn't consistent with God, I had a tendency to be consistent in other things. I had a tendency to be consistent in running after things of the world. But God got a hold of my heart early on, and I'm very thankful for that. You know, some of you may have that same story. You know, some of you have a different story. I look at my children, and I'm very thankful that my children have grown up in learning and having a consistent lifestyle with God. Ever since they were born, they were in the house of God. You know, Gracia looked at us here last week and said, you know, I can't imagine not being in church on a Sunday. And, you know, as a father, that brought my heart joy, you know, because it's one of the things that, you know, she had to figure out. We developed the pattern in our life for our family, but it was something that now she has stepped into, and she said, okay, now I'm going to live and be consistent with God, and I'm going to value all these things. Anyway, so it's important. So I'm going to talk a little bit about consistency. When you look at a word like consistency, you know, what is it? What is that word? You know, being consistent, just a little bit of a definition, it behaves the same way. When you're consistent in something, it's that you behave the same way. You're not erratic, you're not just all over the place, but you're a consistent person. Does anybody know any people that are consistent? People that are workers, even people that you're around, that you know, you can depend upon this person. And let me say this, that consistent people are dependable people. They're trustworthy. And so I love to look at this, and I love to look at the passage, and I love to look at the scriptures of how Jesus chose worthy men to follow him. Amen. Come, follow me. He was choosing men that lived a lifestyle of consistency. They weren't erratic and all over the place. Amen. So what's Jesus looking for? He's looking for a bride. Amen. That's going to be consistent in loving him. First and foremost, loving him. When we love Jesus, everything in our life shifts. When I love him, everything shifts. My eyes aren't on others. My eyes aren't on people for dependency. My eyes are completely on him when I'm consistent with him. You know, and I said, you know, consistency. One of the things that it does, it attracts. You know, even one word like this word, consistency, it's going to attract great relationships with people. Because consistent people, let me go back to say this, consistent people are trustworthy. They're faithful. Amen. Pastor Miranda preached on faithfulness last week. You know, is God looking for faithful people or unfaithful people? Where am I at today? We're in church, right? It's okay. You guys, come on. Let's get alive a little bit. It's okay to be alive in the house of God this morning. Amen. Everybody's pondering, right? I'm thinking, he's talking about consistency. Am I consistent? You know, I thought even about telling a joke, you know, about being consistent where you sit in church. You know, I had a pastor tell me one time. He said, you know, I can always tell when somebody's mad at me. He said, you know, they're on the first or second row for a long time, and when they get mad over something I've said or preached, where they end up on that back row. And he said, before you know it, they're out the back door. He said, so people, they keep demoting themselves, you know, as time goes along, and they find themselves outside of the church. Anyway, I always thought that was funny. So anytime, you know, everybody's like, well, I'm on the back row, you know, I'm not mad at the pastor. But being consistent is important for you as a believer. You know, listen, I want to tell you guys, and I want this to be very real, and I want to be very transparent with you, because it's not about doing something one time and that you've done it right, that there's an established pattern. You know, because, you know, you will hear people say, I tried church. Didn't work for me. Now, how many of you tried church one time and realized that you needed to go back? That was me. That was me. How many answered an altar call and realized, I need to go answer another one? How many of you realized that when you got saved, you didn't have everything figured out? That was me. Because see, what happens a lot of times is that people have this, well, you know, I tried church, didn't work for me. I tried tithing, pastor, I tried it. You would never believe what happened to me, what happened the next week. My car broke down. You'll never believe I got demoted at work. I lost my job. I started tithing. You know, these are real things. These are real things I hear. But what God's looking at is he's looking within our lives for us to develop patterns and to be consistent with Him. It's why we teach. And it's, you know, I was listening yesterday coming home. Miranda fell asleep, and I was listening. She fell asleep. I fell asleep at one point anyway. I've seen you shared that, by the way. So I was listening to a message on stewardship. And, you know, why, Pastor, do you listen to messages like that? It's because I want to learn. I want to learn to be consistent. I want to learn to operate at a greater level. I want to learn to go higher, as she said earlier, from level to level, from precept to precept. That's how we develop ourselves as Christians. And it's going to take you being consistent with God. Amen. And please hear what I'm saying today, because if you become consistent with God, you will love what He loves. You will truly fall madly in love with you'll love people. You'll because God loves people. You'll fall madly in love with what God loves when you become consistent with Him. And we're going to talk a little bit about consistency, what it means to be consistent with the Lord, throughout the next week or two. You know, I've heard people say, I've tried church, once, and it didn't work for me. You know, it would be like, you know, and I've shared this as an example before. You know, I couldn't imagine being married to my wife and telling her one time that I loved her. You know, we got married, we said that we did all the vows. I said, I love you, but I never developed a pattern of being consistent as a husband in her life. Because see, that's how some people view things. Why? I tell her that I love her. I told her 27 years ago that I loved her. She knows. Does that work for anybody in their marriage? I'm just curious. You know, you have to be an example. Each and every one of us have to be an example of what it means to live and operate with Christ, you know, and have a consistent life with Him. I know I keep using the word consistent. I'm trying to build a little bit of a framework here, but you know, please understand, it's not about just doing it once that you have it figured out. It's not that, you know, that, you know, I remember hearing a story, and I believe it was Dave Ramsey, and he had shared this story. It was Thanksgiving time, and I don't know, was it a story he was passing off too, but he had shared the story, and his family was trying to get the recipe for how Grandma did the ham, because Grandma's ham was so amazing during Thanksgiving. And so the family was calling around, and as the family called around, they found out, well, Grandma did this, and she put pineapple juice, and she did this, and she did all that. But Grandma, she always cut off the butt of the ham. And, you know, and that's what all the relatives said. You know, Grandma, she cut the butt of the ham off. And finally it went all the way back around. It went all the way back around to Grandma. And somebody said, Grandma, we got your recipe, and we even cut off the butt of the ham. And Grandma, we're just curious. Why did you cut off the butt of the ham? She said, it was because my pan was too small. It was because my pan wasn't big enough for that ham. But the whole family, the whole complete family had, you know, got the recipe. This is how Grandma does it. So there was a consistency within the family of how to bake the ham. And, you know, guys, listen, it's so important that we begin to pay attention as the church in which the hour which we're living in. You know, why is it important to be a part of a church? Why is it important to be involved, to be in a place of helping out? Because the more people that come in, the more people that are able to give time, talent, treasures. We talk a lot about that. The more people that come in and they're able to give time, they're able to devote that to the kingdom of God, the more we get done. The more we get done. God's looking for you to be consistent. He's looking for you to be consistent in prayer. He's looking for you to be consistent in your giving. Amen? Oh, Pastor, don't talk about that. No, God, it's what the Word of God says. God's looking for us to be consistent and live a consistent life with Him. You know, I want to say this because, see, the Word of God in the preaching of the Word has completely transformed my life. And I believe it's transformed many of your lives. But listen, this is the key. You have to, you got to fight to stay in it. You know, the Bible, we've talked about it. You know, the enemy. You know, when you begin to develop a pattern of consistency, you guys know that there's a real enemy to your faith. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion. Not that he is a lion. He's like a roaring lion. So you've got to learn to develop patterns with God that kick the thoughts out. Amen. That kick the deception out. He's a deceiver, the Bible says. So he's always wanting to trip you up or cause some friction in your life. You know what? Living a friction-free Christian life, doesn't that sound like a good thing? I believe you can live that. As you develop patterns of consistency with God. I don't deal with things that I used to deal with. I don't fret, I don't worry. I mean, I look at things that bring me joy. My mind is renewed. Take your Bibles, go to Romans 12 real quick. Because see, what happens is when you begin to develop patterns with God, things begin to just, you wake up praising Him. You know, it's like a few months ago, one of the things I had shared with this church, you know, what's your praise break look like? You know, because sometimes you got to stop and you got to get up and you got to get moving and you got to shake yourself and say, no, this is who my God is. Because see, what God does is if you will allow Him to do it, He will train, you know, you can be transformed. But it takes you. It takes you. Look at Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, present your body as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, and I love this passage because it's so dear to me. This is how you begin to get consistent with God. And when you do this, He'll transform your mind. I didn't grow up hearing things like, God wants to bless you. I grew up hearing things, well, why does God take people? And then, see, God doesn't take people. There's a devil in hell. You know, so I learned to take my anger, and I learned to point my anger where it belonged, and it belonged at the devil. Amen? People, you know, when people die, they don't become angels. I grew up, well, everybody becomes an angel. No, people don't become angels. So you can grow up hearing a lot of things that are contrary to, and I'm going to get into it in a second, is truth. Because see, that's something that we have to understand. God wants to give us the truth of His Word. I grew up hearing in my life, you know, and I had to have a renewed mind. You're always going to be in debt. You're always going to have a house payment. Some of you guys have heard this stuff before. Maybe it's just important to repeat some of this stuff sometimes. You're always going to have this. You're always going to have that. I live without a car payment, and I live without a house payment. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I don't have those two things. But I grew up hearing, this is what you're going to have. But what I did was I seen something in the Word of God that I could possess, that I could take a hold of and say, no, this is something different. I'm going to develop my life around the consistency of what the Word of God says. You know what's great about the Word of God? Because the world doesn't understand it. You know, it's like giving. I don't know, I'm not hung up on giving today. You know, Jesus became poor so that you could become rich. What do you do with that scripture? It's contrary to how the world thinks, right? Jesus became poor so that you could become rich. It's better to give than to receive. Acts 20. It's better to give than to receive. What do you do with stuff like that? Because, see, that's not how the world operates. You know, even in leadership, Jesus was a servant leader. How did he lead? He served. He served others. He served others. That's not the clear definition of how the world would classify what a great leader even is. A leader stands up and speaks and everybody listens. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He was a servant leader. Amen. So, but look at Romans 12:2, because see, this is so important that you see this, because one of the things that happens when you begin to develop, when you begin to develop as a Christian, you didn't arrive figuring everything out the first Sunday you came to church. You didn't arrive at that. 27 years, I'm still arriving. Amen. I love the Lord. Even this morning before I came, you know, they played a Sinatra song. I had Sinatra's top 10 hits. You guys, well, really? Yeah, no, I was listening to Sinatra this morning before I came to church, just listening and praising God. Amen. Just thanking Jesus, how good He is, how awesome He is. Amen. But what God wants to do first and foremost for every believer is to renew your mind. You've got to kick out the old stuff. Anybody got any old stuff you got to kick out? Anybody? Guys, come on. Now, do you have any old things that you got to, you know, that you run back to? Oh, well, I feel. See, Christians, we you know, emotions are, you know, we do feel. However, is that feeling lining up with God and what the Word says? Is it lining up? Is this lining up with the Word of God? That's the renewed mind that every believer, you've got to be in it. You've got to develop a consistent lifestyle with the Lord. You know, I ask, you know, it's like Pastor Miranda, how many podcasts do you listen to weekly? 8, 10, 12, 13, 14 podcasts. She's got certain things. You develop consistency in your life, so when the enemy comes, you're like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to go back over here and be consistent with the Lord. Amen. I'm going to go over here and help somebody. I'm going to go over here and make this happen. I'm going to go over here and do this. Man, you don't get tripped up. You don't get tripped up when your life is surrendered to Christ. You don't get tripped up in things. You don't fall along with the foolish things. I'm thankful God's transformed me. I'm thankful that He's transforming a church. Amen. I'm thankful that people are walking in obedience to the Word and to what God is saying. Amen. You know, see, what you work at in life, you ultimately should become good at. And for whatever reason, in our culture, we think, well, when we become a Christian, we just stop working. No, that's when the work begins. Well, God'll do whatever God wants to do. Yeah, He's sovereign. He's sovereign. You can look outside and you can see how majestic, how great things are. Everything He's created. But the heavens, the Bible says the heavens belong to the Lord, but He's given earth to man. He's called us to rule and reign as priests and kings. And people have a hard time with that. Well, God will do whatever God wants to do, but you have to play your part. And it will take you developing and being consistent with God. It's not a microwave. You push the buttons, 2 minutes, everything's done. You're brand new. You become brand new when you get saved, but it's the walking it out. Amen. You can see Paul's life. You can see Peter's life. You can see the life of Joseph in prison for 3 years, thrown in a pit. If Joseph didn't lead a life of being consistent with God, he would have never rose to the rankings where he had went to. Amen? You see it time and time and time again throughout the Scriptures of what it means to remain, what it means to abide, what it means to remain, what it means to abide. What you work at, you should get good at. You can get good at being a Christian. You can be a faithful Christian. You can do what the Word tells you can do. Amen. I'm not losing anybody today, am I? Because you know, God doesn't want just a piece of you. You know, he wants all of you. He doesn't want he wants everybody to go to heaven. That's God's will. You know, 2 Peter 3, it's his will that none shall perish. That's God's will. But I'm going to tell you, he doesn't want you to live a life of just the ups and downs and all over the place and your behavior's erratic. That's not what he wants for you. He doesn't want you to be emotionally drained. He doesn't want you to come under attack. Understand something. You know, there's a war that's taking place. There's a war for the soul of men and women. The battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. But you know what I love about the end of this story? We win. I've read the Bible. So in the end of it all, I'm a winner, amen. I'm going to win in the things of God. What are you fighting for? That's what you're fighting for. In the end, I know that I win. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to be taken out. He goes on to say this in this text, and he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he's saying something in this passage, very, very important. If you abide in me, if you remain in me, if you're consistent in me, I'll know that you're my disciple. What does it take to be a disciple of Christ? Consistency, a remaining, a faithfulness. I'm going to go do my own thing. It's developing a lifestyle of being consistent with the Lord. You know, being consistent in a house. It's the one thing even as a pastor. And I've shared this with this group. If people leave, please go find it. You know, I don't ever come into church thinking people are leaving. I don't. I don't think that way. People move. Things happen. But you've develop a consistency with God of being in the house of the Lord. Because he'll help you. I'm living proof of that. You know, my wife and I served in church for some 15, 16 years before we ever answered the call to full-time ministry. What did you do? We did it. We served in kids. We served in young adults. We served in nurseries. We served in children's church. Served on church boards. We did all of that. Because I knew something early on in my Christian walk. That's what faithfulness looked like. Was it always easy? No, it wasn't always easy. Did you ever get whatever about things? Did you ever get frustrated? Yeah, you get frustrated in life. But I understand what's important is that I remain faithful. Because if I remain faithful, that stuff's going to go away. That stuff, you know, and then you start learning things in the Word of God that if you have a problem with someone, deal with it. Go to that person, talk with that person. There's a novel concept today, isn't it? Just go talk to them. Because, you know, the heart of every believer needs to be compassion. Not pride, but compassion. So if you need to sort something out with someone, do it. Make things right. So that you can sit in church with one another, amen? Love one another. Care for one another. I'm not pointing this today at anybody, but it's the things that people will allow into their mind to pull them away from developing and being consistent in the things of God. Yeah, just the grass looks greener. The grass always will look greener. Until you get there, then you'll find out, well, you know, it's the same over here. I got to water it, got to tend it, got to care for it. You know, somebody's going to come along and trample on it, and I'm going to get upset. Oh, you got to you deal with the same stuff everywhere. People are people, right? Yeah, people are people. Praise God. There's a revelation, right? Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, it's about now for the believer. Once you get to the concept of remaining, that you remain. See, that should be so elementary for us. Remaining should be elementary. No matter what, I'm not turning my back on God. I'm going to remain. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there. I'm going to play my part. You know, Brother John could have called me today and said, Pastor, I got some stuff going on. I can't make it today. But where's John at? He's faithful. Amen. Because he has a responsibility. He's in the church parking lot today, greeting people and parking cars. I care about that. Yes, I care. But you know who else cares about that? God. Because, you know, I'm just using John as an example. Maybe John needs a breakthrough. John's not here. And that, you know, in some form or something was called out, and he needed a breakthrough, and he wasn't here. Well, I'm gonna stay home and just pity party on myself. John, I'm using you as an example this morning. So, you know, pity party on me. I'm just not, you know, just down on myself. You miss the opportunity. I've missed opportunities, guys. I don't want to see people miss opportunities. It's what God does. It's not what the pastor or preacher does. It's what God can do through a person, through a word, through something that you can receive. That, you know, man, I need to see this faithfulness as how you see it. Not even as how Pastor Brad sees it, but I'm going to be faithful with God. I'm going to be committed to God. I'm not going to be pushed aside. I'm not going to be thrown off by the tactics of the enemy. But I'm going to stand fast. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. I'm going to put on the armor of God. That's an action, amen. I'm going to put it on. I'm not going to just lay it over here and there's my armor. No, I got to pick it up and put it on. We can't be wimpy. This is not a time to be a wimpy Christian. I mean, you look at the attacks even just in this year. It's not. There's no time to shrink back and be wimpy in the things of God. So it's important that you understand that the truth, that you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. I'm going to get more into that tonight. I just take your Bibles, and I'm going to talk about the truth will set you free tonight. I'm going to preach on that, but let's take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Because I want to close with this, because it's important that you see the Word of God. You have the Word of God. And listen, as a believer, you begin to speak the Word of God. Do you know that you yourself as a believer can make declarations? You yourself as a believer can have what the Word of God says? But it takes you practicing. It takes you it's going to take your engagement. It's not going to take your complaining. It's going to take your engagement. Amen. I want you to see this in Proverbs chapter 4, because there are 15 things even out of this scripture that the Word of God says that you need to do. 15 things. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Watch this. This is really cool. It says, my son or daughter, you know, he's referring to all of us here. It says, pay attention to what I say. Point number one, pay attention to what I, this isn't like points, I'm not preaching on these points, but it says, pay attention to what I say. Number one, so we have to pay attention to the Word of God. We have to pay attention to the preaching of the Word. We have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. You guys understand what it means to pay attention? Doesn't mean to look away. Doesn't mean to, well, just whenever I feel like it, you know, ooh, like a two-year-old. We're maturing in the things of God. We're becoming mature Christians. We're not wandering away just, well, whatever I feel like, you know, because that's, you know, Jesus is very clear here. The Word of God's very clear. Pay attention. Pay attention. Wake up. Pay attention. I'm sorry if you're dozing off with me today, but pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to what I say. Number two, the Bible says, turn your ear to my words. Faith comes by hearing. I love that because, see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Are you listening to the Word of God? Do you come in here on a Sunday and then you don't hear another word about God until the next Sunday? Well, because whatever you listen to and whatever you, you know, if you're spending 30 hours on Netflix or you're spending 27 hours on whatever else media that you might be on, well, that means that's time that you're not spending with God. You know, do you have to spend every waking hour with God? I believe as a believer, you personally do. Because He never leaves you. That's what the Bible says. Can you have fun? Can you watch something on TV? Yeah, you certainly can. But if you're spending 30 hours a week outside of things of God, and you're waiting coming to church just on a Sunday to receive something, well, you're going to be dry. You're going to be like the two-year-old. Oh, I don't want to pay attention. I'll pay attention on Sundays when I feel like it. No. You're developing a pattern. You're changing a pattern. Amen. So you turn your ear to His words. Number three, do not let them out of your sight. Don't let the word out of your sight. You know, don't let the word out of your sight. Yeah, Pastor, I don't have time to read. Listen to it. Put it on. Listen to the word of God. Read the, you know, listen to audiobook. Brother Don was talking, he listened to our men's thing. It was like audiobook. Man, that's what I shared with this church last week. I listened to 1 John and 2 John probably for 40 minutes, just chapter 1 and chapter 2, just on repeat, because I was getting it in my spirit. How long did that take? What took me from Fairmont to Bridgeport, Bridgeport back to Fairmont? I was driving anyway. You can do double duty sometimes, right? It's you're getting the word, you're sowing it into you. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. You're storing these things up. That's how salvation's birthed in every person. It's through the heart. One confesses and one believes. You're putting things here that matter. You're putting things in your heart that when something happens, something tries to throw you off. Man, I have some storage. I have some things stored in my heart that I can pull from. I can pull from the Word of God. It's like sickness. And you know, does anybody get frustrated when they get sick? I do. Everybody in here probably does. Because that's contrary to what I believe. It's contrary to the Word of God. Now, do you have to deal with it sometimes? Yeah. I don't even like to even say that. I don't even like to deal with what the enemy tries to throw on us. The residue of sickness. I don't like it. Don't like it. Amen. Keep them within your heart. Number five. For they are life for those who find them. Life. See, the truth. The word is life to every person. Life. Do you wake up happy? I do. I honestly do. I don't wake up sad, depressed, with anxiety or with fear. I don't wake up wondering how today's going to be. I've got on my vision board. I got a picture of a place where Miranda and I went last fall, and I said it's a good day every day, and I look at that picture every day. You got to do what that brings me joy. And every time I look at that, I smile. I looked at it before I came to church, and all I did was my face lit up and smile. Because He created all this. How blessed we are that He would allow us to even be here. Amen. Oh my, what a joy. What a joy. Guard your heart. Let me keep moving here. Health to your whole body. He wants to bring health to your whole body. Amen. That's a promise from the Lord. He wants to bring health to your whole body. And it goes on to, and that was actually, seven was guard your heart. Number eight was, even out of this text, guard your mouth. The Bible says guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. And keep it free of perversity. I don't like perverse things. I don't like when people, and I especially don't like when people use God's name in vain. Click, shut it off. They're talking about my dad. They're talking about my father. That rubs me the wrong way. It should rub you as a Christian the wrong way. Oh, it's just a movie, you know. You know, and they put it in there to get that other rating. Who cares? If somebody talked about your dad that way, your physical dad, how are you going to handle that situation? You're going to pop him in the mouth. Yep. Hawaii, right. Put the hammer down. Why don't we treat God our Father that way? So you keep perversity from your mouth. You don't have to hang around it. You know, even in schools, our kid, you know, somebody starts down that road with GD this and F this, and you don't have to hang around that. Leave. I feel like I'm in a church. I'm not dealing with a bunch of cussers in here or anything. So, but you get around that. Your witness is so important. You don't have to hang in that. And definitely don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in that stuff. These are things that Jesus, you know, just in the word, Proverbs, Solomon wrote this, but this is the word, and we know the word's inspired. So keep away from corrupt talk. Keep it far away from your lips. What's corrupt talk look like? It's gossip. It's slander. It's well, you know, keep away from it. What good comes out of it? What good comes out of slander, out of gossip, out of you know, what good would it do for me as your pastor to stand in here and blast every church in Marion County? None. Leave. That's what I, you know, what good would it do to stand in here and you know, because you know, people will call, what do you think about this person? What do you think about Joel Osteen? What do you think about this guy or that guy? Why? Just stay away from it. Stay away from it. Why should it get so much into your mind that you get twisted and turned around? Well, what do you like? Who do you like? You know, I'll give people, Miranda and I'll share with things, people we listen to, people we like. I like the people that preach the word in here. I like Brother Don's preaching. I like Brother Stephen's preaching. Minister Mark, Sister Amanda, I like the people. I like listening to them too. Amen. So keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet. Pay attention to where you go. Pay attention to what you're around. Man, you know, if you're around people that mistreat others, you'll pick those things up. If you're around people that slander God's name, you'll pick those things up. Pay attention to where your feet go. Pay attention to the areas you move in. Amen. Young people, please hear that. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to those areas. And he's saying, give careful thought to the path of your feet. Be steadfast in all your ways. Be steadfast in all your ways. Be consistent.